You're listening to Leaders Portfolio Audiocast on leadersportfolio.com. I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. Here with us in the Leaders Portfolio studio is the CEO, co-founder, and chairman of Synteractive, Mr. Evan Burfield. Welcome to Leaders Portfolio.
Thank you very much.
Now, Evan, you are a finalist yourself for the Greater Washington Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award, and Synteractive placed number 64 in the Inc. 500 in 2010. And you offer strategic consulting, data visualization, risk analytics, business intelligence, and many more. So give us a snapshot and break it down for the layperson what you provide.
So what Synteractive does is we help complex organizations really try to tackle their toughest business challenges through what we describe as social and technological innovation. So, you know, social technologies, collaboration are really changing the way businesses organize and try to get things done. In the same way, cloud computing, mobile technologies, the proliferation of data and what you can do with it is sort of changing the core technology infrastructure. And so we kind of go into organizations. We really try to focus on what are the things that are actually going to drive business value for them. And we try to do stuff that's really innovative and is going to give them a competitive differentiation and advantage.
Excellent. And talk about some of the challenges associated with, I thought about this with your business model, like you've got nonprofits, businesses, and professional associations all as clients. So you're often trying to provide the same thing to them, but they're different organizations. How does that work?
So our clients range from literally the Obama administration. We built recovery.gov when they passed the stimulus and they needed to provide every American visibility into how $787 billion in stimulus money was being spent. We had to go in and build that platform in 10 weeks, which was really something quite groundbreaking and transformative for government. Yeah, that's one kind of client at one extreme. On the other side of things, we'll help the American Petroleum Institute to become more efficient in the way that they help to kind of regulate and drive safety and improvements in the petroleum industry. You know, the interesting thing to me is we don't see as much difference as you might think between a lot of our innovative government clients, nonprofits, corporations. People are people, bureaucracies are bureaucracies. And at the end of the day, there are some really disruptive transformations going on right now that people are grappling to come to terms with, whether you're a government agency or whether you're a Fortune 500 company.
And you've done this being an entrepreneur many times. So you created NetDecide. It's a provider of enterprise wealth management solutions, and you were able to make that company profitable with $11 million in annual revenues in 7 years. So I'm going to ask you, what did you learn the hard way the first time around that this time around with Synteractive, you thought, I've been through that. I did it wrong the first time, but I got it this time.
You know, NetDecide was an amazing experience for me. I started the company when I was 19, right out of high school. And so in that sense, NetDecide kind of provided my business education. Didn't really have an undergrad at that point, just sort of learned the business side. And I think that the two key things that I took from the NetDecide experience that I've applied to Synteractive, the first is really diversification of strategy. So NetDecide provided a really compelling product for a particular industry segment. So the way I would describe NetDecide is if you have between $500,000 and $25 million in personal net worth and you go to your financial advisor at Legg Mason, Bank of America, top-tier financial service firms, you wouldn't know it, but our software is what's powering that relationship, the advice they give you, the follow-up, all of that stuff. That was great when financial service firms were really booming in the late 90s, and then when the economy turned in early 2000, it was a real struggle because we had sort of one product, one buyer, and we were really relying upon that. With Synteractive, we've worked hard to drive a more diversification of products and offerings across a broader range of industries so that, we can flex and flow a lot more with the economy and with different sectors. I think the second thing I took was capital efficiency. NetDecide was sort of your classic venture-backed business. We started the company with $1 million in angel money. We raised $20 million in capital total. We kind of went through the classic VC route. And while we created a lot of value and won a lot of awards and had some very pleased customers with NetDecide, it didn't necessarily create the wealth for the founders and employees that you'd necessarily want. With Synteractive, I think we sort of focused a lot more on not raising early stage capital, growing the company a little bit more methodically before we really brought in institutional investors and, you know, really tried to hit the aggressive growth curve.
Oh, excellent. That's good that you have so many lessons learned to, unfortunately, for your sake, right? That's not always good.
No, lessons learned are a wonderful thing. That's what makes you smarter, right?
Absolutely. Speaking of smarter, you have a degree from the University of Oxford, bachelor's, and I'm going to ask you, what's your overall leadership philosophy?
You know, to me, I think your leadership philosophy has to come from sort of authenticity and sincerity about who you are. And I know for me, you know, I'm certainly passionate about building a great company and creating wealth and creating a great work environment for the people who choose to join us. But more importantly, you know, it's really important to me that we're tackling meaningful problems and that the things that we're doing at Centeractive are really making a difference. And that sort of junction of social purpose with, you know, business value is kind of central to my leadership philosophy and sort of how I approach things. So, you know, when we go through boom times can be stressful at Centeractive and difficult times can be stressful, right? I mean, it's building companies is rarely an easy path. You know, I always try to bring people back to why we're doing what we're doing and how it both, you know, helps the company and helps all of us, but more importantly, actually helps our clients and helps broader social purpose.
Excellent. Now you're speaking of broader social purpose, you have traveled broadly, 50 countries. And was that because of NetDecide or was that just business in
general?
No,
actually, after we sold NetDecide, I sort of had a quarter life crisis, was 20, 25 years old, you know, wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do. And I ultimately decided to go.
So you sold NetDecide at 25?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. And well, thank you. But it sort of left me in that interesting position of having very few life experiences in common with most of my peers.
With a lot of money.
Yeah. So
you could go buy them now for a few years.
So I decided to basically move to England and go study philosophy, politics, and economics and row and play rugby and have fun. And the interesting thing with living in Oxford and living in London is it's such an incredibly – it's just a completely different experience, I think, than – what most of my peers went through in a U.S. university. It's extremely diverse, obviously, in terms of the population of students. But and obviously, you don't have classes and you don't have lectures. You mostly sit around reading books, and once a week you pop in and talk with your tutor for a little while. But the travel, actually, while I was at Oxford, I also headed up strategy for a private equity firm. And so I would sort of – some of the travel was for business. So it was, you know, go analyze – the market in Italy or go analyze the market in Malaysia for a certain type of product. And then a lot of it was just for pleasure. London's a phenomenal city if you enjoy doing long weekends in Istanbul or Stockholm or wherever.
And so you did your bachelor's after NetDecide. So you went, you did a reversal. So
yeah.
You were 18 taking $1 million in angel money, or you got it a few years in?
No, it was 19. It was right when I turned 19.
So this is a real question. Who would trust a 19-year-old? And then obviously that person was smart enough to do that.
So I've learned certain.
So they're right.
I've learned certain lessons, or at least observations about capital raising. Right. So it's interesting. If you walk in at 19 to go raise angel money, you're either insane or you're credible, right? You either fit the mold of some sort of like freak entrepreneurial genius or you're completely crazy, which makes it somewhat easy for investors to go, well, he doesn't actually seem crazy, so we'll assume he's going to go do something interesting with it. In the same way, you know, one of the last things I helped to do, helped the private equity firm do before I came back to build Centeractive was go and raise $500 million in equity and about $7 billion in debt. Same deal. If you go in to raise $500 million in equity, you're either insane or you're completely credible. So it's a much simpler process, actually. The hardest stuff is like, you know, you've built a pretty reasonable company. You want to go raise $5 million. That's actually some of the hardest capital to raise because there's a much broader range of possibilities. You could be credible, but it's just not that good a business idea. So, you know, you got to hit those key niches right there.
And because you were profitable, we know you weren't insane.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. At least I don't think so.
Excellent. That's great. Now, how much do you think leaders are responsible for controlling the success of an organization?
I know for me, you know, if you don't fundamentally take on that responsibility of sort of ultimately going, you know, at the end of the day, either I make this succeed or I don't. I don't know how you really get to the big prize, to the dream. At the same time, I mean, one of the things that I think I've matured a little bit in between NetDecide and what I now do with Cinteractive is just recognizing that really, if you're creating an interesting company that has complexity to it in different markets and, you know, multiple clients and products, all you can really do is kind of inspire, influence, hire the right people, and let them kind of do what they're doing. You know, for me, I always feel like I need to do everything I possibly can to ensure success while also recognizing that it's much more about how I empower my team to go out and do things than it is about what I can directly do. You know, control in almost every situation, control is kind of a psychological illusion.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Well, I want to thank you, Evan, for being with us on Leaders Portfolio. So thank you for coming today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
CEO, co-founder, chairman of Cinteractic. I said earlier he was a Greater Washington Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award, a finalist for that. And Cinteractic placed number 64 in the Inc. 500 in 2010. And so, Evan, are we going to see Cinteractive move up in 2011? You've got a competitive spirit.
It's the
spirit,
goal. So, it's the goal. It's always the goal.
Okay. I mean, it's going to get harder and harder.
It does, actually. It does get harder, but, you know, you don't stop trying.
Evan Burfield here with us, CEO, co-founder, and chairman of Cinteractive. I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, thanking these sponsors, Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, a development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. If you're trying to reach the leadership or business community directly, consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. This has been Dr. Blacksmith asking what's in your portfolio.